for Hoka Journal. I am Cris Oviedo. Welcome. And today in studio, I have Nikki Heismick-Burnick. And I know you've been here with us before. And I thank you for coming in. She's the president and the CEO of the Horizon Foundation. Welcome.
Thank you for having me again today. It's wonderful.
And this month, we're doing a special show with Nikki, where we're basically just concentrating on the Horizon Foundation celebrating its 20th anniversary. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. And congratulations to the community. You know, we really do have a special community. And 20 years ago, we had visionary leaders who started the foundation with assets from the sale of Howard County General Hospital. We started with about $65 million, and we've grown to almost $95 million in assets. We're the largest health foundation in the state of Maryland, and we're here to serve Howard County.
Now, Nikki, how long have you been with the foundation?
I've been here 7 years. So our founding CEO, Richard Krieg, was here 14, and I've been here for seven.
Wow. And on those 7 years, how has the foundation changed or evolved? I mean, what have you seen in those 7 years that you've been with the Horizon Foundation?
A couple of things. First, I think we have promised ourselves that we would tackle the biggest health issues in Howard County. So really trying to narrow our focus on the things that are most important. The second is we've taken on a role in terms of public policy and public advocacy. Giving out grants is really important to us, but also being spokespeople in the community for what we think the county should be doing to further health and wellness as well. And those have been really important advances for us. The foundation is here to support the health and wellness of everyone who lives or works in Howard County. And our goal is that everyone in Howard County live a long and healthy life.
Now, I know that in your efforts to comply with that mission and make that a, you know, reality for everybody, you guys have a myriad of initiatives. But for the sake of time, we have to kind of like narrow it down. And we want to center around five different things today. So I was thinking we can start with Bike Way. The bike share, I know, is one of the things that you guys have done to make Howard County a more bike-oriented community. I think that when I spoke to you last time, you said we want everybody to be able to walk, bike, or ride and feel safe when they're doing it.
So just to back up a little bit, we redid our strategic plan last year, and we went out and did over 200 community interviews with institutions, and we landed on three main priority areas. The first is healthy kids and families. The second is healthy aging. And the third is ensuring a more equitable community. Particularly when we're looking at healthy kids and family and healthy aging, we know that unfortunately folks are dying in our community from preventable chronic disease, things like diabetes or heart disease. And we know the biggest thing that you can do as an individual and as a community to combat those preventable diseases is good exercise and good nutrition. Mm-hmm. So the Bike Way and our work around biking and walking in Howard County is centered on really hoping that people become physically active, stay physically active as long as they can in order to reduce the onset of chronic disease.
Now, the Bike Way it's a proposal at this point, correct? So tell us a little more of where the stages where it's at.
Sure. So the Bike Way really is a vision for a more bikeable and walkable Howard County. The County Council in 2015 passed the Bike Master Plan. And the Bike Master Plan is basically a 30-year plan, again, to create additional bike facilities in the county. And we said, well, 30 years is a long time to wait. Right. How can we look at the next 5 years and really put together a plan that has a long-term vision and some short-term action steps? So the Bike Way is a request for the county to spend about $3 million a year to build out, again, the beginnings of the Bike Master Plan. And it would allow an interconnected system of paths in the county, not just in Columbia, but all of Howard County. So really going from Elk Ridge to the western Howard County and from Ellicott City down to Savage and Laurel. So it's really a set of interconnected bike facilities that would enable all of us to be able to bike and walk more easily. We requested, along with thousands of our county residents, that the county executive put in, again, $3 million into the county budget. Last year, he put in about $1.5 million, which is good progress, but mm-hmm. we are paling in comparison to our neighbors. So Montgomery County is spending $26 million on bikes. Anne Arundel, $7.5 million, both of those in fiscal year 18. So we have a lot of work to do. And for us, it's an equity issue. It's a transportation issue. It allows students to bike where they need to go to get to school. It allows businesses to attract millennials who don't want to drive a car anymore.
Right.
And it allows us to attract that kind of knowledge worker to Howard County. And it also allows elderly residents to use pathways, again, to bike or to walk to the coffee shop or to CVS and make it easier for our residents to get around in lots of different ways. One of the things we try to do at the foundation is make healthy easy here in Howard County. And it shouldn't be hard to bike to the pool. It shouldn't be hard to find healthy, nutritious offerings in our community. And, you know, we often see, unfortunately, our neighbors that are driving their kids to the bus stop. And sometimes it's not safe. And we need to make it safer so that parents feel that they can let their kid go on a bike or walk by themselves. And to begin to change the culture that healthy can be easy in the county. It doesn't have to mean a lot of effort. It takes a bike and a helmet and there you go.
Yep.
And the bike share is a set of seven stops around the county where people can rent a bike for a short trip. We're hoping that folks from the community college can bike down to the mall and have lunch and come back and, again, make it easy.
Right. Make healthy easy. And you talked about healthy options as well. It's not just the exercise portion. As we know and we've heard, I think, from many experts, it's especially to be healthy. Exercise is it's a very important part of it, but nutrition, it's really the key. And you guys have this initiative called HOCO and Sweeten. And I want you to tell us a little more about this sugar-free initiative.
Yeah. So like you said, nutrition is vitally important to maintaining a healthy weight. And we've launched Howard County and Sweeten. Now it's been about 5 years ago. It's an ongoing program of the foundation to look at how we can create healthier beverage options all around the county. Unfortunately, we know that added sugar, and particularly added sugar in sugary drinks, is the largest single source of sugar for kids, right? So that's where they're getting all of this added sugar from, whether it's juice or flavored juice and sodas. We know that these drinks are actually causing type 2 diabetes in younger and younger ages. It used to be sort of an adult disease, and now we're seeing kids as young as 9 and 10 with early onset of diabetes, and again, leading to other chronic diseases like heart disease. But you know what? We've been having a lot of success in the community. So we launched Howard County and Sweeten about 5 years ago. We've had a tremendous amount of work in the community with community organizations, churches, re-looking at their beverage options and providing healthier options. We had a county law pass, CB 17, which required that vending machines in the county offer healthy options and youth programming, right? Summer sports camps. When kids need hydration, they need water, particularly in the summer when it's really hot. So we've done a lot of work in the community, and we have actually seen the sales of sugary drinks declined by 20% since we launched Howard County Unsweeten. And that was actually a study that was published by independent evaluators in the Journal of American Medicine. So we know, again, when you create good public policy, when you create good programs and you have media, we know when we do all those things in good public health that we can make a difference and we're improving the lives of our young children. We now have healthy items in our vending machines. The ones at eye level are particularly healthy. You know, your child kind of goes right to that healthier option that's provided. Again, juice without added sugar in it or smaller portion sizes, other flavored types of water, again, with low added sugar. There are lots of different options out there. We put up the Better Beverage Finder several years ago. It's a website that you can go and you can put in the ages of your child and you can put in where you live in Howard County, and it provides you with other options, again, besides sugary drinks. So what we hear from parents is, I really want a community that reinforces the values that I have as a parent. We made great changes within the school system over the past 5 years. The school system has a new wellness policy. They're providing more nutritious snack items in the snack bars. They have removed all vending machines from the student areas for students, particularly in middle school and elementary school. They've increased the amount of recess that kids are getting. I know my son and daughter, when they were in elementary school, they went from 20 minutes to 30 minutes, which is your recommended amount of physical activity for a day. So we're making a lot of changes in our community. I think it's because parents want those values instilled in the community organizations and institutions here in Howard County.
Well, it's wonderful to know that it's not just in corporate level that this message has been carried, but it's actually getting into the homes, into the families, because that's where the real change can happen.
Absolutely. We had a great grant to Head Start a couple of years ago, and Head Start began to implement a program called Eat, Play, Grow. And they engaged the kids in conversations about sometimes foods and always foods, right? So the always foods are all your fruits and vegetables, you know, that are providing healthy, nutritious energy for kids. And then the sometimes food were the things that you might have every now and then for a special occasion. And then bringing the parents in from the four-year-olds to begin to talk about how you can provide healthy options, even on limited budgets. They had had great success with, again, getting those younger kids and helping them enter kindergarten at a healthy weight. There's great literature out there that says if we get a kid early, we get them into kindergarten at a healthy weight, they're very likely to stay at that healthy weight through their younger years.
That's wonderful. Just to backtrack a little bit, I know that we were talking about the different options. I'm glad that you brought up the idea that it's not that we are taking away sugary drinks altogether, but it's finding the balance. And not only that, but finding lower sugary drinks, like drinks with lower sugar added on them.
So we have a new set of ads out there. You might have seen them. They're called Drinks in Disguise, right? So This set of advertisements is meant to expose the deceptive labeling that beverage companies often use to make you think the drink is healthy. So if it's got oranges on there, well, it must be healthy.
But right.
You look at all the added sugar that's in a lot of these drinks. And so again, I think part of this is education of the community to begin to look at labels, read labels.
Understand them.
And understand. And also, again, particularly in our public spaces, to provide the healthiest options that are available for right. our kids and families.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's not something that can only apply to drinks. That's something that can apply actually to everything that you buy. You know, they're always telling you this is healthy, or disguising it like, oh, the healthy options, healthy this, healthy that, falls within the recommended dietary recommendations, you know, for a healthy diet. But when you look at it, it's not that they're necessarily lying, but it's like it's giving you everything that you should eat within one day in that one snack that you're
right.
So it does fall within the recommendations, but if you eat anything else, then you're overpassing the recommendations.
Right.
So it's very important to not only be able to read the labels, but to really understand them and to really compare them to what's a healthy plan for yourself. And I think that that's something, the initiatives like what you guys are doing are so important to educate the people. Because this is not something we learn in school, unless you went to school for nutrition. Most likely nobody taught you how to read labels.
It's also reinforcing it in the community, right? So if I go into my school, I see healthy options in the cafeteria. If I go into my church, I see healthy options that are provided after the service. If I go into my library,
right.
there's healthy options available there. So it really is changing our community norms.
It doesn't feel weird
it
anymore.
It doesn't feel weird anymore, right? It's just
yes.
make healthy easy.
Yes, eating an apple and instead of eating chips is not a weird thing anymore,
right.
You know? And that's exactly how it should be.
Yeah, and just there, we worked very closely with the school system to pilot a program called Let's Rethink Lunch, where we provided fruit and salad bars for all the elementary schools. Or we actually piloted it first in 3 schools, and then it's now spreading to every elementary school in Howard County, where there's a fruit and vegetable bar available so kids can get access to fresh fruits and vegetables during their lunchtime.
That's fantastic. So let's move away a little bit from nutrition and exercise and move into something that finally is a little more complex. And this concept of equity that you guys are starting here at the Horizon Foundation. Now, equity, as you guys have it, it's understanding that is the fair and just opportunity for everyone to live a long, healthy life, and the efforts that are being made to reduce health disparities and achieve racial equity. Tell us a little more what this looks like. How do we actually implement this?
We look at our community data, right? And we know that some members of our community face pretty significant barriers to overall health and wellness and opportunity. This is particularly true for our communities of color, which experience disproportionate levels of chronic disease, death, and disability.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at any of our health statistics in the county and you disaggregate the data by race and ethnicity, you'll see pretty significant disparities based on race. So we know that our African-American population has significantly higher rates of chronic chronic disease. We actually know that our Latino residents face disproportionate levels of being overweight. Unfortunately, all of those things leading to earlier death. So when we started looking at the disparities in the data, really trying to understand how we could improve health for everyone in Howard County, this sense of equity and this idea of equity, which really means health for all, that we intentionally look at our data by race and ethnicity, as well as by geography and gender and other things that we disaggregate our data by, that we intentionally start working with our communities of color and begin to understand what some of the barriers that they're facing, and that we intentionally elevate those voices in our community, give them grants to support their own capacity building, to help them advocate for changes that they would like to see in their community in order to, again, improve overall health and reduce disparities between minorities and whites in the community.
To me, that's what's so fascinating about your concept of equity, because I think we all understand equity and we all understand about trying to break away the racial disparities that exist. But the fact that you guys are focusing on health issues, and you talked about obesity and you talked about grants and that kind of thing, can you give us more specific examples of maybe some initiatives that you guys have already going in, or grants that you guys have given before that are going straight forward and going into making a more equitable community?
So this
here?
Is brand new. Okay. I mean, we are at the early stages okay. of our work here. So we actually held 3 racial equity workshops a couple of weeks ago. We had almost 300 people attend.
Wow.
Just to get the language down, what's the difference between equity and diversity and inclusion? Mm-hmm. How do we look at things with an intentional equity lens? You know, yeah. what is the history that brings us here today in terms of the history of the United States? So we had, again, 300 people show up. On November the 10th, we're having an equity summit where we're inviting all of those 4 folks and more to come and begin an exercise in the community where we're looking at our data, where we're understanding the differences and really begin to explore how we can close those gaps. We are very excited that at this summit, we will be having Ta-Nehisi Coates as our keynote speaker.
Wow.
He is, as you know, an amazing author and journalist. He wrote, I just finished actually Between the World and Me, which was a letter from him to his son. He's an African-American author, and an amazing book about what it's like to grow up African-American black in the United States. He's also one of the author of the Marvel comics, The Black Panther and Captain America. But he's just a very prolific writer and speaker around the issue of race and racism in this country and how we can begin to break down some of the barriers that still exist.
Yeah, how can we understand it so that we can finally get rid of it?
Yeah.
Because I really think that racism as it is just a misunderstanding of history, and we, you know, a story that keeps repeated over time, and we just need to cut that story and start telling a new story and making a new story.
We have a great opportunity to do that here. And what a better place to do it than here in Columbia, where the original Jim Rouse vision was one built on equity and inclusion. And we want to reinvigorate that vision for the future generations here in Howard County, that no matter what color your skin is, that you have the same opportunity for a long, healthy life here in this community.
So November the 10th, the Health Summit is happening at the Wild Lake Interfaith Center. Do you have more details?
I do. So everything is free, but space is pretty limited, as you can imagine. Ta-Nehisi is such a powerful speaker.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants to come.
Absolutely.
So you can go to the website. It's hfequity.org, which is horizonfoundationequity.org. We do need requests submitted by October the 18th, and then we need to review all the requests, and we'll get back to everybody by October the 22nd. And we really do want people who live and work in Howard County and who really want to work on racial equity to come. We will be releasing at the end of this year a set of grants for organizations interested in working on health equity, and that's where we'll get to some of the interventions that people are interested in working on. Those will be announced by the end of the year. So we have a significant amount of money that the foundation has put aside to invest in this work.
It's an exciting opportunity. So if you're listening to the show on racial division or inequity, I guess we can call it, right? It's something that you're excited about. This is something you want to jump on board. Even if you cannot make it to the summit on November the 10th, there's other ways, there's other opportunities that you can come in and really partner with the Horizon Foundation to make Howard County a more equitable county for everyone. everybody.
Absolutely.
So it's a great timing for that. Make sure to check out hfequity.org to get all the details. Let's move into mental health.
Yeah.
This is such an open topic for me because you guys have like so many different things happening here in the mental health. So just tell us a little bit about what you guys do and what your focus is.
Sure. So we really spent the last year researching best practices from around the country. So you do look at our mental health data and we do see increases in folks going to the emergency room, folks being admitted into the hospital based on a mental health condition. And we were starting to get worried, right, that these statistics are going up. And so we really looked around the country at other places that were doing this a little bit better than us. And I think what's happening right now in Howard County is, unfortunately, folks are not getting diagnosed early. And then they're waiting and waiting and waiting and until an acute episode happens. And then they unfortunately end up in the ED to be seen. So when we looked at the data, we said, you know, our goal really is to try to get people diagnosed at earlier and earlier ages and to get folks into treatment. So we know that there's about 10 years spans between somebody when they know they might have a mental health condition and actually seeking treatment for that condition.
Wow.
So could you imagine if you had diabetes or you had cancer
and you wait 10
and
minutes.
You waited 10 years to get treatment?
Right.
So I think that just reinforces this idea that mental health still comes with such a stigma and that people have worries about getting into treatment for a condition that should be seen just like a regular physical health condition. And we do need to work on reducing stigma that parents know that it's okay for their kids to get treatment. And we need to make treatment easier and more affordable for our families. But it really goes to, you know, helping with that early diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So we're working with our pediatricians in the community to look at different ways that they can begin to have that conversation with children and their families to do early diagnosis. And again, there are new tools, new opportunities coming out all the time. The other thing that we're doing is, just like Howard County in Sweden, we're launching a media campaign. We just hired a firm, and you'll be seeing our stuff in the future, again, to kind of normalize the fact that mental health is about just as important as your physical health. Well, mental health and well-being, again, is just as important as your physical well-being, and that the more we can do to destigmatize and to make folks aware of opportunities in our community, that's really what we're trying to do.
Now, to close, let's talk about healthy aging. Speak Easy is something that my church personally, I know it's pushing strongly. It's a very tough topic, and families especially, I feel like I look at my mom, right, when she's sitting next to me, and I'm like, I haven't had this conversation with my mom. And it's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable conversation because you have to talk about something that you know it's going to happen because it's going to happen to all of us, right? But you're still not comfortable having that conversation because it puts that thought in your mind of that person passing away. And how are you going to handle it? How are you going to deal with it? Tell us a little more about Speak Easy.
So actually, you know, 90% of people, right, say it's important to talk with your loved ones about the health care that you would want or they would want if they were unable to communicate with their healthcare providers. But only about 27% of us have actually had that conversation, like you mentioned, with your loved ones. And I think it's actually very uncomfortable if you haven't had the conversation, so I'd flip it for you. Because you may not know what your mom wants, you may feel conflicted if you're put in the position of a healthcare agent and you don't know what her decision is. So we really talk about this as giving a gift to your family at whatever age you are. Unfortunately, accidents happen.
Right.
So if you're a college student or if you're aging here in Howard County, we're asking people to speak easy, right, about this time of your life, encouraging people to take two critical first steps, what we call advanced care planning. The first is to identify, well, first of all, sit down and have that conversation with your loved one. Ask them what kind of health care they want. If they can't speak for themselves, we have a great booklet called the Conversation Starter Kit that you can get on speakeasy.org, and it helps you have that conversation with your mom to understand what's important to her and so that you can honor her wishes if you are actually identified as her health care agent. And that's really the second step that we're asking people to do, is actually designate your healthcare agent so that you know and they know that they'll be responsible for speaking on your behalf if you're unable to speak for yourself. We've had thousands of people, like you said, churches, community organizations, physicians, most of our healthcare providers in the county, whether that's your internist or the hospital, Gilchrist, Lorien, everybody has gone through these trainings. They are conversation ready. They're having these conversations with their patients, with their congregations, really beginning to think about making this, again, the community norm. This is right. something that everyone does. We are really excited that this sounds very techy, but the Maryland Healthcare Commission, which is one of our state regulatory bodies, they just approved My Directives, which is an online advanced medical directive platform. And so you can go to the Speakeasy Howard website and appoint your healthcare agent and do your advanced directive on this online registry. Wow. And then it is accessible by any healthcare provider in the state of Maryland. So if something happens, if you're in Western Maryland or on the Eastern Shore, they can get to your wishes and have them respected and followed in our healthcare institutions. So we're really, really excited about this. And that once again, Howard County is kind of leading the state in thinking about these issues, having a very planful, thoughtful community initiative, and having events where folks can show up and do things as well. We are very excited to be partnering with the Stoop Storytelling Series, which is out of Baltimore. We will have an evening of true personal tales about living our best lives. The event is actually going to be on November the 1st at 6:30 p.m. at the Soundry. So the title is I Did It My Way, Stories About Creating a Life and Death on Your Own Terms. So we will be featuring 7 storytellers who will each share a 7-minute personal tale about what it means to live their best life.
It's a conversation that's really, really important to
have.
Well,
you want to know what your parent, what your brother or sister, what they want, right? It's less about us and more about them. Mm-hmm. And being able to talk to them before they can't make decisions on their own. I mean, I know personally, my mother-in-law had dementia and you know, getting that conversation before her dementia progressed enough so that we understood what her wishes were, that we could honor her in the way that she wanted to be honored. There is a great deal of burden that is lifted to know that you're honoring their wishes and that you're not making that sort of very critical decision based on little information.
Right.
You're making it based on the best information that you have. And we've also heard that when families have those conversations, the burden is lifted and the joy is there, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're really able to spend those last hours in a place of peace.
Is there anything else, Nikki, that I know that there's a lot more that you guys do at the Horizon Foundation. Is there anything else that you would like to bring up today for listeners?
I think it's really important to mention a couple of things. I mean, we are your Community Health Foundation. We're here to improve the lives of people who live and work and go to school in Howard County. And we're very, very open about our work and our engagement in the community. The second is that community partnership. These are, as you said, they're monumental issues that we're facing around health and well-being. And it takes an army. And we have so many great community partners working with us on many of these issues, whether that's the Community College, the Columbia Association, or the Community Foundation of Howard County, churches, synagogues, mosques, the school system. So it really is humbling for us to have so many great partners, so many grantees that are out in the community doing great work. And, you know, we just get to be the spokespeople for all of the great work in the community. And the other is that we really do want to evaluate our work. You know, looking at the data and measuring whether we're making progress is really important. To be able to publish peer-reviewed journal articles, to be able to show the community that we're using community resources wisely and that they're making a difference. Is really important. We want to be the healthiest county in the country, and we have work to do in order to get there, but we have a big vision. We have great community partners, and we have initiatives that are very meaningful, and we're interested in, again, closing that gap and eliminating the disparities that do exist here in Howard County.
Nikki, thank you so much for coming into the studio today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
It's great.
For Hoka Journal, I am Kiriza Viema. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.